for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Saturday afternoon, May the 26th, 2000, Memorial Weekend Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting, being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Mildred Coffey of Millington, Tennessee, is the speaker of the afternoon.
I can give you glory, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I learned when I was in the Baptist church that I had authority. I didn't know what I had it for. I really didn't. I knew that I was seated in Christ Jesus. I was taught that in the church that I was in. And I praise the Lord for it because it is it's where we're seated. You know, we're seated in Christ. The Word says this, that we are. It says, Beloved, now are you in Christ Jesus. It doesn't say we're going to be, and I know that He's working to bring us into Him fully, and now what we want is Him in us, and us in Him, and the Father in us. It's what Jesus said. He prayed in John. He said, Father, that they may be one, as you're in me, and I'm in you, and I'm in them. Okay? I can't find my notes, so I think I'll just preach off the top of my head. Oh, glory. I really want to just... There's a lot of things I want to share. I've got some things that... if I can find it. I said, told you I was going to share with you this afternoon on how to keep your deliverance once you get it. And it's very important. I got just found the one on how to prepare for deliverance. By the way, do you know how to prepare for deliverance? Do you really know how? Well, maybe I better do that first. Now, you girls that already know it, just pray, okay? You know, the Lord has told me, I used to come over here, and every time I would come, I would bring something that God had given me that was really fresh. And the Lord spoke to me about it, and He said, hey, you got babes, people that don't know deliverance, and not as far in deliverance as you are, start back where they are. And then the Lord used my husband one night. I went to the mission to teach over in Little Rock. And I was teaching men. And I taught on the soul. And when we left, he hurt my feelings. He said, hey, those people didn't know what you were talking about. I said, well, if I teach them where they are, I can't help them. I got to bring them a little further. And he said, well, you need to start at the beginning with them. Yes, he had more wisdom than I did at that time. And so I said, you're right about that. But when the Lord began to tell me that we forget a lot of things that we know, and we need to go back and have a refresher course. And when you're preparing for deliverance, you need to, first of all, you need to be sure you're saved. Do not minister deliverance on an unsaved person. Thank you so much. I was hoping you'd remember to bring that to me. If you minister deliverance, you can minister to deliverance to a person that's not saved. But what have they got in them to keep them free? So they've got to have Jesus in them to have a protection. And then you've got to teach them how to resist the devil, how to not go out and sin just the minute they get deliverance. And that goes in with how to hold the deliverance. But you've got to be sure a person's saved. Then you've got to be sure that you've got to get them to forgive. Forgiveness is essential to deliverance. You cannot hold on to unforgiveness. You have got to forgive everyone, living or dead. And it doesn't mean, well, I still forgive everybody. That is not what I'm talking about. It means that you go, whatever the Lord shows you, you need to forgive. You need to forgive. And it's a process. Even after you start in your deliverance and begin to get deliverance you get, maybe delivered from this one where you had unforgiveness, and God will bring another person. Hey, you need to forgive that individual. I ministered to young girls when they would just raise Cain with me, and I say, oh, you've got to forgive. Well, I'm not going to forgive my mother. I don't care what you say. I said, okay. Then you don't want deliverance. Jesus said that we're to forgive. And if we don't forgive, then he won't forgive us. So unforgiveness is a hold up. Have you ever, some of you girls that's been doing deliverance, have you ever been doing deliverance on someone and demons say, I don't have to go?
Oh, yeah.
They still have unforgiveness. I've had that happen to me many times. And, of course, sometimes it's just a tactic that the enemy will try to use and get you back to, you know, to say, getting them to forgive. But the thing is that they must forgive them. Then there's repentance. We repent of sin. Repentance means you turn away from it. You're sorry for it. Not sorry that you got caught in it. A lot of people are just sorry they got caught. But you're sorry for what you did. Because sin, it's like, I've had people tell me when they smoke, well, it's my body. I said, no, it's not. It's God's. Well, I'm not going to give it up. I'm not going to quit. And then maybe they decide, well, I'm going to see if I can get some deliverance on it, you know, come in and get free from it. Maybe I just don't want to smoke quite as much. You've had anybody tell you that? I've had them tell me, I don't want to give up all my sins. I said, well, don't come to me because I'm not going to minister to you and waste my time. I said, we don't have cafeteria-style deliverance. Just whatever I want to be free of, I'm going to get and keep the rest of it. No, that doesn't work. So there has to be forgiveness. There has to be repentance. And repentance means you turn from it and you don't walk back in it. If you walk back in it, you're going to go back to where you're not going to keep the deliverance you got. That's what I was going to share some on this afternoon. And I may have to do all this off of just from the, by the Spirit without giving you scripture. Would that be okay? If I can't find my notes, I know I will. But they're here. But anyways, then you've got to confess sin. You've got to get a person to confess. Well, what I did wasn't so bad. You know, God understands. He sure does. He calls sin, sin. If you've been involved in the occult of any kind, if you've gone to a fortune teller, even at a fairground just for fun, you got cursed, your kids got cursed, your grandchildren got cursed, and your great-grandkids got cursed. God says not to do it. It's an abomination. It's you say, well, I was just playing. Well, that's okay. You were just playing, but the devil doesn't play. And he's waiting on it. So you got to repent of any involvement in anything of the occult. Having your palm read, going to fortune teller, playing with the Ouija board, all of the occult things, horoscope. How many of you have read the horoscope in the paper? Nobody's ever read the horoscope. Well, see, that you have to repent of these things. Yeah, we all know about that. But the thing is, we have to repent. And what I'm telling you not only apply to you, but if you're going to minister to someone, you need to go through this with them. So many times we jump in and go to doing deliverance on people, and we don't even check to see if they know Jesus. And I said that yesterday about the lady that I ministered to, but she kept telling me she was saved. But you got to know, she said, they are. No, they got their soul. Then you've got to. Well, I said touched on that forgiveness, but let me just throw this out to you, and I think this is real important. You've got to forgive your mother and father. Well, you don't know. This is what this little girl came to my house one night. Her mother sent her to me. I thought, I don't do deliverance because mama sent or daddy sent. I do deliverance because the child wanted deliverance. And she told me, she said, I am so tormented. It was so strange. I got the daughter one time and later the son came. I got two of them out of the same family. And the young man was so tormented, he was seeing demons were crawling over his bed, over him, on his ceiling. He said, I work 16 hours a day because I can't stand to go home and go to bed. He said, I'm so tired, you would think I would go to sleep, and I can't because the demons are everywhere. That boy didn't need to be told there were demons. He knew. But this girl told me, she said, you don't know what she's done to me. I said, I don't know, and I don't care. God didn't tell me, and I don't want you to tell me, but I said, I want you to forgive her. And then I have others say, well, my mother was a saint. Well, okay, did you ever get mad when you got spanked, maybe for something that you didn't do? So what I'm saying is all of us at times have unforgiveness against our parents. We need to forgive our mothers and our fathers. Confess, as I said, break any, close it. Let me do it this way with the occult. Close the door on the devil. You tell the devil that you're never again going to open that door to get involved in any of the occult. That he has no partner lot in you. And you get the people to confess that. If you're dealing with people that's been in Satanism, they won't want to do it. The demons may not let them do it till you do some deliverance on them. But you can take authority over those, and you can. What did John say over in John 20:23? Whatsoever you bind, let me see. Whosoever sins you remit are remitted, and whosoever sins are retained. So you can remit their sins until they are able to ask forgiveness and close the door themselves. I've dealt with girls that have been so bound up in Satanism that they couldn't repent, close the door because the Spirit Center wouldn't let them. Okay, so, and then you need to call the soul, your soul back. You need to ask the Father to restore the soul. And those are essential to being, to doing, receiving deliverance. And if I can find this other one, it's right here somewhere because I just looked at it, I thought. Praise the Lord, I think what I did was... Now, bear with me for a minute while I go through. Here it is. I knew I had it somewhere. You know, a while back, I think it was last year, I don't know whether any of y'all knew Joel and Melody that were here. Joel came to me one time and said, Miss Coffey, said, do you know anything about the strong man or the unclean spirit leaving and returning? And I said, yeah, a little bit, not much, but a little bit. You know what Scripture says, because I really hadn't gotten into it. And he was talking to me, and he said, open your Bibles, if you will, to Matthew's Gospel in chapter 12. And what I'm going to share doesn't have anything to do with what he said, but it really got me to thinking about it. The Scripture says in chapter 12 of Matthew, in verse 43, says, when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places seeking rest and findeth none. And he said, you know, that Scripture there says the unclean spirit goes out. It didn't say he was cast out. And I said, that's interesting. Joel, I read that and use it lots of times to show people to protect themselves after they've had deliverance. But anyways, I got to thinking on it, and I got to looking at it. And I found out what he said was true, and I'll tell you how I know. I'm dealing with someone that's got the beast in them. And Tommy was teaching this morning about the beast nature and the beast, you know, all this. And that's true, but let me tell you something. There is a beast, and there is a dragon. And there is a false prophet in people. You say, not in me. Okay. Well, I'm dealing with one. And this thing has gone out when it wants to. Now, we've been trying to throw him out for a while. We've having to tear down his protection. And he's got 12 head, 7 heads. And we're having to take each head apart, you know, one by one. And cast them out. Jezebel, blasphemy. Oh, blasphemy. That thing can blaspheme the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you, I've been there with that thing, and I know what he does. But I found out, he told me one time, and you said, how do you know this is true? Well, let me put it this way. If you put enough pressure on the devil, he will tell you the truth. They don't always tell you the truth, and you have to judge it. You have to make him tell you if he's telling the truth or not. But he told me, he said, I come into your house. And he said, you always know when I'm there. I didn't know who he was. I knew a demon would be in my house, but I didn't know who he was. I didn't know it was this one. And he said, then I hear you say, Father. He didn't say that. He said, but I hear you say, pray. Until ask for her to be sealed. And said, I have to zoom back into her before you seal her so I can't get back in. And what I say is, Father, seal whoever sent that to me, that this demon can't get back in him. Because I know when to come in. I know when spirits come in my house. When Donald was talking last night about them, I thought, oh boy, I've been dealing with those things coming in and out of my house for years. And they come in and out. The Lord showed me the dragon. Year before last, I was in my kitchen window and I was washing dishes or doing something. And I don't know, I wasn't even thinking, you know, about demons. I don't live and talk about this on demons all the time. I just want to fight them. When they come in, I fight them. And I was sitting there, and I looked up, and really and truly, the Lord told it to me in the spirit, but, you know, I just looked up, and all of a sudden I saw this in the spirit, I saw this. It was the biggest thing I have ever seen. I've seen them before. I've seen them standing on the side of the road, spirits, demons. But this one had the tail. It was the biggest thing, and it had the seven heads on it, and it went past my house, thank God, and it went on down, and as I watched it in the spirit realm, there's a church four doors down from me, and that's where it went. And it was a monster, no offense, it was Jehovah's Witness. There's a kingdom hall down below me. Then a little further down, I've got Latter-day Saints. And but this thing, I saw it in the spirit. And I know that I have dealt with it also in this woman that I'm dealing with the beast in. Now, you say, why haven't you got it out? That's a good question. Because that thing laughs. He said, no one's ever cast me out. And what he's saying, no one's ever cast the beast out. So no one even believes they're there, that we're there. And he said, and I'll see you dead before I leave. He said, one day I may have to leave, but you'll never see it. You'll never live to see it. I laugh at him. It's not funny, though. He's tormented this girl for a long time. But what I'm saying is that downstairs, I'm going to touch on some of this about the bottomless pit being open, Lord willing. It's sometimes to the enemy will come at you really hard when you get on this. And try to block your mind, try to make you forget. But you see, I've dealt with these spirits in people. I told you all, and I've gotten away from where I'm going, but this I want you to be aware that we are in the last days and we are dealing with spirits that we've never dealt with before. And I'm telling you what they are. They're coming to steal from you, to blind you, to steal your soul, to keep you from believing. They put a spirit of doubt in you and say, God doesn't want you to be afraid. He wants you to know who you are in Christ Jesus and the authority you've got. My husband used to say this. He said, when you know who you are and believe, he said, sometimes when he'd get built up really in the spirit, he said, I think I could walk into hell with a pistol, with a water gun with gasoline in it, and I'd just let the devil have it. I said, now, that'd be foolish. He said, no, but there's times when you really want to do something. I said, well, he's going to burn in the lake of fire. We know that, and that's one of the weapons you use against him. That Revelation 20 says that he will be cast into the lake of fire. Him and the beast and the false prophet are going to be cast into the lake of fire. But what my point is that we are dealing with a beast nature. If you don't believe that there's a beast nature and a beast in you, Tommy's got me saying nature, but it's a beast. And it is a nature that comes forth in you. I've had people say that beast and that individual attacked me, and they didn't even know what they were saying. But you know, over in Daniel, King, who was it, Nebuchadnezzar, that went out and God gave him the heart of a beast, and he went out and ate grass. And he had the long claws, talons, you know, in his hands. God was showing us there that in the end time that we're going to deal. The devil wants this to come forth in you. You're sinning all around you, and we're blinded to what we see. We see kids killing kids. In Memphis last week, this little 16-year-old girl, road rage, pulled up in front of a lady. The lady cut her off some way or another. I don't recall how it happened, but this 16-year-old kid went around her and stopped in front of her. And when she did, this car flipped some way or another, and three cars went off the road, and the lady that she stopped in front of broke the lady's neck. And the other two, from the other two cars, are put in hospital. Do you think that's normal? No. That's road rage. Well, that beast just rises up in a person, and it takes over, and they have no control. And so we're to get rid of that thing in us. How do we do it? We work on him with the word. How did Jesus cast him out? He cast him out with the, said, if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come unto you. What's the kingdom? I'm going to hit it again downstairs. It's the power and authority and the rule and reign of Jesus Christ in you and I. And when we begin to believe it, we're going to begin to see things happen. When we begin to walk in that power and authority of the kingdom of God that's within us, we're going to see great things happen. We are going to see it. But we don't believe it. We mental sin it. And God wants us to believe it in the heart. And so we have got to keep on. We've got to keep on taking the word and say, Lord, show me. I told Tommy down there, I think I said a while ago up here, I don't remember where, if I said to everyone, but I told Tommy when he said, ask the Lord to send the fire, I said, no, don't. I asked the Lord to, and I've been going through it. Two years ago, I prayed, and I said, Father, send the fire and burn everything out of me. That's not of you. He ain't got there yet. He's still working. And I said, when I told Tommy, I said, Tommy, when I said no, I didn't. I wasn't coming against what you said. I was just saying, no, don't do it unless you know what you're asking for. Because I said, and now my prayer is, Lord, bring me through the fire. Finish it up and get me out of it. I don't want you to take me out. I want you to bring me through it so he can get rid of me. And we were singing, Bill was singing, more of you. And I said, oh, no, Lord, all of you and none of me. And we're a long ways from that, but Lord, please, no, none of me but all of you. So over here when he said that this spirit goes out, when Joel was saying that, he does. But I want you to look at this in the area of casting him out, okay? So when the unclean spirit has gone out of men, he walketh through dry places, sick and rest, and finding none. Then he saith, I will return to my house from whence I came out. And when he is come, he findeth it empty and swept and garnished. And then goeth he and taketh with him seven other spirits, more wicked than himself. I don't care. I can get loud too. And more wicked, let's see, more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so it shall be also when unto this wicked generation. When a demon, a strong man is cast out. Have any of you ever cast a strong man out? They become real vicious when you clean their house and you get down to them. The first one that I cast out, it took us about 6 hours to get it out. We've been working on it, you know, cleaning the house for quite a while. And the way we got it out, we took turns. We had two teams of deliverance workers praying. And one team would rest while the other team worked. And then that one would switch. And it told me, he said, I'll kill her. When you throw me out, I'll take her life with me. And so we said, no. I said, no, you won't. And so we bound him, you know, where he couldn't harm her. But when you cast one out or cast demons out of you, they go and they walk around in dry places. Can you hear me? Okay. And finding no place to rest, they'll come back and they call the body, your body, their house. Do you ever hear anybody say, some people say, well, I don't have any demons. I don't believe in demons. I'm saved. I'm filled with the Spirit. I'm blood bought, washed. We're on the right track. And the devil can't come past the blood. Well, let me tell you something. The devil wants you to believe that. As long as he can do that, the louder I get, the louder it rings. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory. Hallelujah, Lord. We praise you. We give you glory and honor. We just run off this church in the name of Jesus. I bind the devil's power in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and command the devil to take his hands off of this place in Jesus' name. Greater is he that's within us than you, devil. You loosen and let go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. What I want you to see is that when a spirit is gone out of you, he thinks that your body is called. He calls it your house. And if you don't protect it, he will come back in. You see, it said, I looked up that word rest, and it says he goes out and he looks for recreation. This really made me mad when I really saw what rest meant in the Greek. He said a place to have fun. So he don't find any place to have fun out in the dry places. So he comes back to his house where he can have fun tormenting you and me. So we need to keep him out once he's gone. I don't want to be a demon's fun and recreation, do you? Of course not. So what I want you to look at is when I said something about this yesterday, when you get deliverance, you must be careful to guard your words. Well, I think I got free. I'm really not sure. I got delivered. You know, I always say, you never go through deliverance, but you don't get deliverance. If you sit down and say, Lord, I want deliverance, he said, what does the word say in Joel 2:32? He said, they that call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. So this deliverance comes, and it may be a little bit and it may be a lot, but you've got to confess it, that you were delivered. And if you know of anything specifically, you were delivered of, like, rejection. I was delivered from rejection. I was delivered from fear. I was delivered from so-and-so. And you confess it. And when people come up and say, well, you don't look like you got it, you cannot accept what they say. And you mustn't sit quiet and just say, you know, when they say that, well, you don't want to say back, say, yes, I did, because the Word says it. See, the enemy comes, steals it. He steals our faith when he says these things to us. And so we've got to know that when he's gone out, he cannot come back. And you've got to confess who you are. You've got to confess that you're blood-bought and you've been redeemed, and ask the Lord to protect you. Someone asked me yesterday, was talking to me about people that are not, I think, not saved. And I said, well, we don't want to deliver them because we're really not doing them a favor. But let me tell you something else. If you're delivering someone that's really demonized, that's really tormented and really hasn't been able to learn the Word, you're going to have to stand in the gap for that person and pray for them. And be available when they need to have someone to talk to, and you've got to encourage them, give them the Word. But you can also ask the Father to send an angel in to stand in there and act like we did with this girl in our church, as her soul, to protect her as we've got her soul back. You say, give me the scripture for that. I can't. I just know that we have the angels at our disposal. The Word tells us that the angels, if we are using the Word, if we're God's children and we're walking in the Word and we know what the Word says, in Hebrews 1:7 it says angels are ministering spirits. And over in, I forgot how that goes, but Hebrews 1:12 says, angels of ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those that shall be heirs of salvation. Over in Psalms 104, 103, I think it is, verse 20 said that the angels hearken unto the voice of God's word to do his command. And so God said in Isaiah that he had given us authority over the creations of his hand, things he's created. And so angels are created beings, and God's given us authority as long as we're using the Word and calling upon the name of Jesus. I've had times when I didn't have time to say, Lord, send them. I just say, angels, Father. And the devil would say, get those blankety-blank angels. I love it when the demons confirm the Word of God. I just love it. I said one night I was dealing with a demon, and I was so disgusted with him. I wanted him gone. I wanted him out, and I was just so disgusted. And I said, Father, would you send me two angels with chains? And every time this demon won't obey, just rattle the chains, angels. And that demon got so mad at me, he said, get those blankety-blank angels out here. You're not binding me with those chains. And I always, my pat answer is, hide and watch. They do try to hide, but they don't get to stay. But we can call for them, and we can call for the, over in Revelation in chapter 12, verse 7, where it says that Michael and his angels fought with Satan and his angels and cast them out of heaven. Now hear me. Hear what I'm saying. The Lord spoke to me one time. Tommy was teaching on this several years ago downstairs, and I'd been dealing with some spirits that I was just really aggravated with and was wanting to get this girl free. I was tired. You know, you get tired and you want to go to the next person and so forth. And he said, and I've read that scripture many times, but when Tommy quoted it, the Lord spoke to me and said, Michael and his angels cast Satan and his angels out of heaven. Where is heaven? Call for Michael and his angels to go in and cast Satan and his angels out of you. I promise you it works. So we have so many weapons, but when we forget sometimes when we're ministering that we don't always call upon the angels to go in and throw those things out. And yet he casts them out of heaven, and we're talking about the heaven that's within us. You know, I was talking in my church. Let me show you how mad demons get. I was talking in my church last time I was over here. There was a lady here that had 6 weeks out of Satanism, and she had not received any deliverance. But she came and she wanted ministry, and she was an older lady, she wasn't a young girl, or, you know, young. She was in her 50s at least, wasn't she? Jane, when? Yeah, Donnelly knows. You were with me with her. Okay. And when I went home, I was sharing about this lady. And this girl in our church that this beast is in, she exploded. That thing was so mad at me, if he could have got to me, he would have killed me. I mean, he wanted to. He was so mad. He said, "Don't talk about that. I don't want to hear it." I said, "Oh, you don't like it, huh? Okay, I'll tell y'all all about it." And he was so mad. And that poor girl was so tormented. And I said, "Bonnie, get him under control. Get him under control." And I can't go near her. If I go near her, he explodes. But he didn't like it. So it was confirming. It was confirmation that the devil doesn't want us to know about these things today. And yet the Lord, he said, I had always said the devil sent them, but I'm at the place now, I think the Lord's sending them to me so I can learn more about what they're doing, so I can help get people free from what they've been involved in. It's not an easy job, but somebody's got to do it. It's a dirty job, but somebody's got to do it. I've had people say, "Don't go to that church, they throw up in garbage cans over there. Or they're brown baggers or something like that." I mean, they've given us every kind of name in the book, but that's okay. But I want you to know this. You're going to have to stand your ground. Now, look at Matthew 12:22 across the page over there in my Bible. It said, talking about the spirit that them was brought unto Jesus and to him, one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb, and he healed him, insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. And all the people were amazed and said, "Is not this the son of David?" But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, "This fellow does not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils." And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, "Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand?" Now, I'm going to use this probably, I don't know if I'm going to use this downstairs or not, but I want you to look at this that Jesus said here. He said in verse 28, if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come nigh unto you. And so he is casting out this spirit, this deaf and dumb spirit in this man, and he tells them that the kingdom has come. And this is part, I want y'all to see that this is part of the kingdom of God. Deliverance is definitely, you know, for a long time when I first came over here, they were talking kingdom. And I came over here and started teaching on soul. And it was just like when I get on to things like this, sometimes it's really hard because a lot of unbelief comes at me when I'm preaching it. And you don't have any idea what it was like when I first came over here and started talking on soul. But praise the Lord, the Lord used it, and I praise God for what he's done with that. But here we see that God has called us to do deliverance, but you and I have got to be sure once that they're gone, when you've been delivered from something, that you don't turn around and walk right back into it. Now, let me go just say back over on the scripture that I just got through using over in 43 and 45. Seven worse than the first. That's a new kingdom. Eight is a new beginning. Seven is perfection, and eight is a new beginning. Doesn't matter whether it's God's spirits or the devil's. It's God's word that eight is a new beginning, and that means if you let that dude come back in after he's been cast out, he will bring another family with him and set up a new kingdom in you. And that's why I was using this other scripture, because we have got to keep that thing out, and we've got to cast the enemy's kingdom out of us and keep it out. Don't let that thing back in. Stand your ground. And how does he work? Anybody remember when I was here last, I think it was last time when I was teaching on casting out the thoughts? I asked you this before. Cast out thoughts. Well, when you cast him out, you say, well, why does he come back? Because most of the time people forget to bind them and send them to the pit. They leave them loose. And you need to bind them and send them to the pit. I hear people say, send them where Jesus sent them. Well, Jesus sent them into hogs, remember? And he sent them to dry places. And they said, well, you can't send them to the pit. And I said, it's too late to tell me I can't, because I've been doing it for years. Jesus told them, when the demons told them, you can't send us to the pit, it's not time yet. So I was asking the Lord. The Lord spoke to me years ago, and he told me, he said, send those things to the pit. Bind them and send them to the pit. Call for the angels to take them to the pit. And so he explained this scripture to me about where a scripture said that the time was not yet. He said that was before he went to the cross. And once he went to the cross, it was that we were in the last days. And so, and I always tell people it's a little bit too late to tell me because I've had demons, as I said, to confirm that they are already there. I had them tell me there's a place in that pit that's got this church's name on it, and you're not sending me there. I said, did you look closer and see your place? There's a place for you there. You know, sometimes I have fun with demons after I get so aggravated with them. You know, you want to just reach in and get them like this and pull them out. You know, their spirit, you can't do that, but that's the way you feel sometimes. And I've been called names sometimes that I just want to hit the person that's doing it. I mean, after a while, it just really kind of gets to you, you know. Well, you can't really let it do that, but you really would like to do something. I tell you what, I have one lady when I do deliverance on her. You come in my church, you think I was really mean, and I am. I get a handful of tissue and I stick them in her mouth, hold them up to her mouth. I said, why don't you bind her? I'm dealing with a spirit I've never dealt with before. And he don't obey nothing. I have people talking about how they do this and do that, and I thought, oh, come over to my church and take care of this one for me. I'm so tired of him. He is not afraid. I've told him that he's coming against God. And I said, you're turned against God. You're cursing God, or you're not obeying the word of God, and you will answer for, and God will deal with you. He said, I respect him because I know who he is. But I also know what my end is. What else can he do to me? And that's what that thing tells me. What else can he do to me? I know what my end is. The demon tells me, he knows. I'm dealing with the beast. One time I thought, I think I'll ask Dr. Noel to come over and teach in my church and let him get a hold of that thing. Y'all know a good deliverance minister that could deal with this? I'll be honest with you, I'm almost at my wit's end with this thing. When he stands up, he knows he's got to go. He tells me he's got to go. And I tell you what I have really discerned at the last. In fact, I got his name just recently. I knew he was the beast, but I knew the beast's got a name, so the Lord gave it to him, and I won't tell it because I don't want it out. But what happens is that when we get real close to getting it out, the enemy sends in reinforcements. He does. And you see, we forget to do what we know to do. Let me tell you this. I told y'all I was just kind of shooting. So somebody out there had my gun loaded, and I was going to just shoot a scatter load. When you're dealing with something like this, you should cleanse the building, anoint your doors, or seal the doors. I don't anoint them. I just ask the Father to seal it so nothing can come in, and to put a hedge around my house, around the church, and to seal the ceiling and the ground, that nothing can come from any direction in. And I forget to a lot of times. A lot of times a thing will erupt while I'm preaching or when we get into deliverance, and then I have to stop and pray. And when I do, I forget to do all the things I know. And so then that's where the spirits will come in. But also, I'm just telling y'all, all my hard times I'm having, I learn a lot doing it. A lot of times on her way to this girl's way to church, protection comes in. Do you ever have to deal with protection? The demons have protection. You know, there's a scripture over in, I believe it's in Daniel. It talks about the watchers and then the spoilers. I forgot where the spoilers are mentioned. But when she's coming to church, on her way to church, a protector will come in. And it's usually sent when I finally get smart enough to realize it's working there. You know, because he'll act like he's the one that I've been dealing with. He's usually come from Satan himself, from the heavens. A protector comes in and protects that spirit you're after. You've never heard that before? They do. They come in and they protect. Some of you girls, if you've been in deliverance and you're working real hard on a spirit, and you're about to get it out, and all of a sudden, you know, it's begging, please, mercy, mercy. And I've had them tell me, they beg for mercy, and they'll say, you're supposed to walk in love. You're not walking in love. Look how you're treating me. And saying all this and beg, I gotta go. And all of a sudden, it just changes its whole attitude. Well, I'm not leaving. Who do you think you are? Something came in. No, I've dealt with human spirits that come in. I open up a kettle of worms, and if you go to somebody that hadn't been into this, they'll say, that woman's nuts. Come on, my church, I'm going to show you. But there's covens, satanic covens around, and they have a communication system. And the devil's not everywhere at one time, but he's got a good system of communication. And you need to jam the airways to him, to the demons, and cut off. See, I don't remember to do all this. I guess I'll make me a big list and go down it to do this. But they will send. I was dealing with a lady one night and had this thing almost out, and all of a sudden this thing popped up and said, who do you think you are? We know you. We don't like you a little bit. And what we're going to do this, we're going to do that to you. And finally I said, who are you? And then he just laughs in my face. And I said, okay, you don't tell me who you are? No, I'm not going to tell you anything. I said, okay, I'll bind you in there until you tell me what I want to know. And you're not leaving. And then he gets mad then because I got him trapped. And finally, after, you know, really working on him a little while, he tells me that he was sent from a coven over there to protect that spirit that I was after. And then he even gave me his name. So you can make them tell lies when they think you got them trapped, and I did have him trapped. I left one in a girl for about 3 days, like drove her nuts, but he sure wasn't ready to leave when it was time to go. When I loosed him, he left, and he didn't come back. I said, now you go back and tell them what I did to you, and now if they send anybody else, that's what we're going to do to them. But they have a communication system, and they don't want deliverance to get off the ground. See, they want to defeat. I say me, because they come real close to doing it when my husband died. But they want to stop what you're learning. They want to stop when you begin to learn about Leviathan, and you begin to learn about Behemoth, and you begin to learn about the Hunter of Souls, and you begin to learn about the Beast and False Prophet and the Dragon and Apollyon and Abaddon and all of those demons. They want it stopped. The devil doesn't want you to know it. He doesn't want anybody else to know it. And then if you do find out about it, what he tries to do is put fear in you and say, well, you know, you can't get them out. Yeah, you can get them out. It just takes a lot of work. I've not done a whole lot of deliverance. I've done more deliverance over here than I have in my church since Jim died. But the Lord's got me back going again. And I told the devil, I said, I'm madder than heck. I'm coming back twice just more stronger than I did do. I'm going to even do it. I think I'm even going to open my house up and start doing deliverance in my house again. I'm mad. But the thing is, he doesn't want us to know. He wants to put fear in you. But, you know, this is why the kingdom of God is so important and your power and authority is so important. You have authority, and you've got to protect. You've got to tell people that you minister to. Don't go back outside and stick a cigarette in your mouth. Don't go sit and watch a dirty movie. Don't go and watch movies that have a cult in it. If you've got your TV on and a cult comes on, something in the line of the occult, if it's New Age stuff, whatever it is, you turn it off. You got a button. Don't sit there and let that stuff. You say, well, I can't, you know, I'm okay. I know better than that. Yeah, but you're watching it and you've got a door open. Your eyes are a door. Your ears are a door. And this is a door. We've got five of them. We've got two eyes, two ears, and a tongue. There's five doorways into our mind. And God wants us to protect it. Honey, I'm telling you, there's stuff on TV you do not need to. If you're walking with the Lord and wanting to serve the Lord, excuse me, because, oh, yeah, they're awful. Mm-hmm. And the things they're doing with children, it's unreal on TV, you know, in the ads. Yeah. You know, I was sitting downstairs thinking about it, and I said, Lord, I think I'm throwing the TV out. I did once before, and throwing my newspaper out. There's nothing good, and no good news in the paper. There's no good news on TV. You said, well, you won't know anything. I know God. And I keep my eyes on Him. It is. And if you stop and think that you belong to the devil before you did to God, you really did. I taught this in my church. I think I just threw it out one time when I was over here. The Lord was showing me that in the area of where he created man from the dust of the ground, and then he breathed man's soul into him. And Tommy was talking about this downstairs. Don't let me get off the dust in a minute. But he said, Tommy was talking about that he was healing, cleansing our soul. I forgot how he said it. But what the Lord had shown me, and this is the same thing as what he was saying, only God showed him in this way. I see this, our soul is why we communicate with God through the Spirit, but our soul has to bring the knowledge to us. And so the devil goes after our soul so we can't receive the knowledge that, from our spirit. And see, Adam and Eve walked with God in the Garden of Eden, and they were naked. They were clothed in God's glory. And that's where he's bringing us back to, as we are willing to get rid of these things. But God made man out of the dust of the ground. And I know over in Psalms it says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. But you go back to Genesis 1 when he created, when the, darkness was upon the face of the earth. And then God moved, Spirit moved upon the, and he began to create. Well, nowhere did he say that he broke any, took away the devil's power of the dust of the ground. The Satan was the ruler of the earth back then. Well, God made this is what I had seen in this. God made me from the dust of the ground. My body is from the dust of the ground. So what do I have to overcome? What are we overcoming? All the lust of the world, the lust of the eyes, and pride of life in this body. We're overcoming the Satan in this body. There's two kingdoms in there. There's the kingdom of God and the kingdom of darkness. And so which one you're feeding? If you're glued to the idiot box day and night, you're feeding, well, it's true, you're feeding the kingdom of darkness. But if you're praying and seeking the Lord and praising and worshiping the Lord, if we spend as much time worshiping God as we do watching TV, oh, glory to God, we'd be walking in the high places, wouldn't we? Wouldn't we? And so it's who you're feeding. You've got to overcome this body. When we get back to getting it cleansed, getting these things out of us, but in Ephesians, Paul said, you were in the kingdom of darkness until God saved you by his grace. And he brought us out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. And so the enemy, we were the enemies. We belong to him. There's no in-between. You're either God's child or you're the devil's child. That's all there is. There's only two forces in the earth. And so therefore, that's why we've got all this garbage in us, and God is, we got rid of a good bit when we got saved. God did, he delivered us from a lot. But you see, we're saved, we're being saved, and we shall be saved. And Thomas did it this way, we're delivered, we're being delivered, and we shall be delivered. But it's the same thing, in salvation there's deliverance. And so, as we get free from the things within us, you know, I said this, I talked about the beast in us before up here, and talked about binding it. So you've got authority to bind. You can take all the power away from that dude. I couldn't get this girl to bind that thing. She argues with him. He tells her she can't do it, and she believes him. And I said, if you would bind him and keep binding him and keep binding him and continue binding him, you would get him so weakened that eventually we could get him out. So I just got disgusted with her, and I backed off her for 3 months. I hadn't touched her. And I'm ready for a fight. Going back Sunday, and I'm going to, on Wednesday, I'm going to have a fight. But anyways, my whole point is that you and I have authority, and if we would bind the spirits within us, listen, I got this morning bound everything in me. Don't you ever do that to yourself, bind strong men in you. Well, you got something strong in you, the false trinity. The true Trinity. Bind that false prophet. Bind the beast, the dragon. And loose the power of God. Ask God to send Michael in there. Did you ever call in deliverance? Did you ever call upon Michael? Oh, many times. I've had demons tell me, I fought with him before. I'm not afraid of him. But then when he comes in, he'll say, get him out of here. Get him out of here. But we can call for the angels of the Lord to come in there. So, well, does he come and stay? No, he comes in, does his work, and he's gone. But we have authority, and we need to use it if we want to get free. If we want to stay free, we're going to have to believe the Lord. Another thing we've got to do, you got to confess your deliverance. I have people that are ashamed, embarrassed, let's put it that way. They don't want anybody to know they had a demon. Jesus said, over in Luke's Gospel, I want to go to Matthew first. First of all, I got on that sin. Let's go to that sin. Go and sin no more. Jesus told the woman when he when he, the woman that was caught in adultery, I think so it was. No, I guess it, who was it? He healed the sick man on the Sabbath day. Over in John's Gospel in the 5th chapter, and verse 14, Jesus told him, he says, afterward Jesus findeth him in the temple and said unto him, behold, thou art made whole, sin no more, lest a worse thing come up unto thee. And you know that when you look at that, that worse thing is that demon coming back in and bringing a whole new kingdom in and starting another house, another kingdom in your house. And over in Mark's Gospel, in chapter 5, Jesus told the man that he had, the gathering demonic, when he had delivered him, to go home. He said, this is the one way he told him to go home. Let me see, Mark's Gospel, verse 19. He said, howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but said unto him, go home to thy friends. Oh, my, if you go tell your friends you've had demons cast out, they'd turn their back and run, wouldn't they? Some of them would. Man, I tell you, I lost all of my friends when I got in deliverance. I didn't lose just one. I lost all of them. They ran. Don't go around her. She sees demons. I mean, I'm everywhere. She'll see demons on you. I said, honey, I don't have to look for them. They're there. I'd be like the one I think Norman Parrish told it. I heard on one of his tapes a while back. He said, when they got into deliverance, a lady came to his church and got delivered, and she went to one church, some big church, one Sunday morning, and when they was asking for testimony, she got up and testified and said, I just been delivered from all of them, I don't know what she's delivered from, and said, and she says, every one of y'all need to go, y'all got full of demons. Got him in a lot of trouble. He went over and apologized. He said, we didn't send her, didn't know she was coming. But Jesus tells us to tell your friends. And you know, some of them may turn away, and I said this, I think, yesterday. They may run from you, but if they go tell somebody else what you just said to them, they may tell the person that really needs deliverance, that really wants deliverance, and it gives them somewhere to go and find some help. And over in Luke's Gospel, it said you go back to your family. Luke's Gospel, chapter 8, verse 39 says, return to thine own house and show how great things God has done unto thee. And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done for him. And I get people calling me, do you do private sessions? I got this. I don't want everybody to know about it. And nobody's got things like me. I said, honey, you ain't got anything I hadn't met before. And I don't do private. Back then I wouldn't do it. And I still hadn't done private sessions. But I'm really thinking about it because I'm really mad at the devil. But my thing is that if you're ashamed of it, you're not going to keep it. What did Jesus say? Freely you've received, freely give. And so if we've received deliverance freely and God has ministered to us, we need to share. Hey, you don't need to keep, you don't have to keep that. You can get free from that. People that tell me they can't get rid of it, and I say, sure you can if you want to. Because you see, it's up to you. It's really what you want inside. You've got a will. Are you willing? You know, asking for deliverance. We used to in our church, I've told this before and I'll tell again, we had, our church used to be three times as big as it is right now. And when we'd finish the service and then say, now whoever wants deliverance, come on up to the front. We didn't let anybody sit on the front row. And they'd have to come up and sit on the front row. That in itself put the demons down. Boy, they didn't like it a little bit. I've had girls tell me, you have no idea how hard it is to get up and walk up there and sit down. And it puts the demons down. And it admits that they won't help. And they would get help. To do that, they would get. I mean, they really wanted help. They weren't just wanting a lot of attention. Have you ever had people say that, well, that's just them wanting attention? Have you ever had people say that? I've had them tell me, well, she just wants attention. I said, well, she sure is going through a lot of hell to get it. And I wouldn't want to be in her shoes. And I've seen girls' best friends walk away from them because of it. But you know why they walked away? They had something just as bad as we were after in her. And they wouldn't admit it. And I've seen it kill people, destroy them. I heard Wynn Hurley say one time, and I agreed with him because I really believed it, that once you get in deliverance, and really begin to walk in it, move in it, you can never walk away from it. Because if you do, the devil will kill you. Because he doesn't know if you'll stay out of it. And the only way he can be sure is to get rid of you. And so, all of y'all are marked. Y'all are marked. The devil knows you're here. Pardon? I said all of you are marked. The devil knows you're here. So you got to do deliverance. You're going to have to go tell everybody. But this is another way that you keep your deliverance. You go and you tell. Did you notice that there's two ways and two people to tell? You tell your friends and you tell your family. Two witnesses. You know, the word says, well, two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them, instead, and then two agree as touching anything. Okay, when you get with someone and you agree, you're telling them, you're in agreement, even if they say, well, I don't believe that, and you say, well, you just got to believe this. And if they don't believe, find somebody does, because then you've got two witnesses. You're two in agreement. Well, I'm in agreement, talking about agreement. I got to hurry. We need to, when you need someone to agree with you and you haven't got anybody around, get the word and agree with the word. The word is truth, okay? That's one. You're in agreement with God, and you agree with that. That's two. I've had people call me up and want me to agree with things, and they will say, would you agree with me? And I said, I don't know. Tell me what you want me to agree with you about. And they would tell me, and I said, well, I agree with what the word says about it. And I'll quote the scripture, and I said, because I'm going to get in agreement with the word, because I really don't know, you don't know what someone else is believing. They may tell you they're agreeing, but they don't even believe. And if they don't believe, they nullify your faith. We need to be careful about, girls, I mentioned this yesterday, I'm going to say it again. Because I had somebody walk up and put their hands on me last night or yesterday afternoon, and I had to do some deliverance on myself. Be careful who you put hands on and who puts hands on you. Spirits transfer. You know, Paul said, lay hands on no man suddenly. And he's telling us to be careful. He said, people say, well, I don't have to be afraid. Now, if you walk up and going to hug somebody, you see, they are prepared. If they're going to hug you, they're prepared, and you're prepared to hug. So how? Cover yourself with the blood. If you know the person, you don't have to be afraid of them. You know what I mean? I don't mean to be afraid, but you don't have to be afraid you get something from them. But you really don't know. I took hold of someone this morning, and I had somebody else that had a hold of my hand, and when I did, something went from me to from them to me to them. Tell me about it. You tell me that spirits don't transfer. I felt it go through me. I was so dizzy. And then the person that had a hold of my hand received the same thing. I hope I can get you to hear me, because people are doing this and spirits are transferring. And they transfer bad enough through soul ties and things with our families. And, you know, another thing, now, I don't know how to say this, but I'm going to say it because I was asked to do this. Just a minute. I'm working on a thought. How to get this out without being offensive. I don't want to offend. But it's a rule here in the camp that you don't minister. You do not minister for another person unless you do it, bring them up before the church. And it is not permitted because it's a good rule for this reason, ladies, because we don't know what anyone else is going to say. You know, and like, God wants you to leave your husband and go, you know, this has happened. I know it happened to some friends of mine in Memphis. And this woman went to my friend's husband. My friend had died, and this woman went to her husband. And this woman was still married, and she said, it was prophesied, I'm going to marry you. And he said, not me. But it caused problems. And it reflects upon the camp. And it's just not good. So if you've got something you want to share with someone, you go before we get one of the pastors. There's a lot of them here that everybody that the camp knows and trusts, and you know, share it. But you just don't do it because it's a rule. And so I was asked to remind you all about this. If you're going to prophesy or if you're going to pray for someone, you still don't do it unless you're under authority. Okay. Okay, you got to love them anyways. I'm just being obedient. But anyways, let's go on. I hope I didn't put a damper on anything, but here we go. Oh, I'm sorry. I know what you're saying in that area, but I still say if you're going to, I don't like somebody tell me to hold hands. I don't like for somebody to tell me to go hug somebody. I won't do it unless the Lord tells me I don't do it. I listen to the voice of the Lord, and a lot of times people will say hug, you know, and they get in a, I don't believe in getting in a circle. I do not believe in getting in a circle. The witches and the Satanists do. They have a pentagram on the floor, however, and they get in a circle and they chant and they do their thing. And I don't want to do anything that copies the occult. I'm very dogmatic. I'm dogmatic in a lot of things because there's a lot of things I don't like and I don't believe in. And I don't want to offend God. I don't want to get out of the will of God. And I try my best to obey what the Word says. And I tell you, God hates the occult. And anything we do that's resembling that, you know, occult means hidden. And the things of Satanism and all of this is seeking knowledge other than from God. And we have the Holy Spirit. We don't need to go in circles and trances or whatever. And we need to be very careful that we don't open doors for the enemy to attack us, because he certainly wants to. Let me say it like this. If you have no doors open, see, the Word says that a spirit cannot, a curse can't cause this to come. But you see, our problem is we all have open doors. Even if you put on the whole armor of God and you're covered yourself with the blood of Jesus, this is usually the way we open the door. And we do. Do you agree, ladies? You know what I'm talking about. Because, see, God wants us to come to a place where we don't have open doors. This is what deliverance is for. And this is what he's trying to do with us, is to get us where we can walk in without sin. Jesus said we can, and we can. But our problem is that we're in a world that is all around us. It's in our houses. It's everywhere. And this is the way that the doors are open. Mostly, I really feel like that we need to really. I want to do a teaching on the tongue. I did it in my church, and I said, we really need to confess what the Word says and to speak positive instead of negative. And when people try to, but you can hear them say, I got a headache, or my diabetes, or my this, or my that. It's only sickness. It doesn't belong to me. I don't claim it. And we kind of watch that. We'll kind of guard that. Some people do. And yet some, I hear people that know the Lord, feel the Spirit, and believe in deliverance still saying it's mine. And it's not yours. It's the devil's. And so when we get to the place where we don't have an open door, then we don't have to be as careful. We don't walk in fear. If you're not doing deliverance and you don't believe in deliverance, you don't got anything to worry about. Because you're not bothering the devil. And he won't attack you. But if you're walking in deliverance, if you believe the Word and you want to get closer, the only reason anyone should want deliverance is to get closer to God. Yeah. And so if we're seeking the Lord and we're wanting to get closer to him, we need to just walk, be careful with the walk. And I know a lot of deliverance ministers don't agree with me in the area of getting in circles and of laying on hands, but that's their business. And I know that a lot of them that are saying this have compromised the Word and deliverance and are backing away from it. And they'll admit they do very little deliverance anymore. And I am at the place where I'm not going to compromise. I'm going to call it like it is. When I said I don't eat pork, the Bible says not to eat unclean things. There's a lot of things that we're doing as Christians is that, well, I can do it. Sure you can. You can do anything you want to. God won't stop you. Because he made us free, he gave us a free will, didn't he? And he lets you go to hell if you want to. He won't send you there. He came to people to be free and to walk with him. But people send themselves there. Why? Because they reject God. They reject the work of the cross. They reject the shed blood of Jesus. And so my whole desire is to help people get free. And not only if you're not needing a lot of deliverance, that you will know and be able to minister someone when they come to you for prayer, that you can help them. You know, anything we get, we've got to give. And the more you give, when you see someone bound up and set free, and see what happens in their lives. It's so exciting to see what God does in them and through them. And you take someone that's been through hard deliverance and suffered tremendously from demonic pressures, they are more than glad to share with other people and to tell them. And they do. And I've seen people, I just told you the negative part in our church, but I've seen people delivered from everything under the sun. I told you yesterday about the lady that in my church had been delivered from abuse. She was delivered from sexual abuse, but also satanic abuse. She had, as a child, been reborn again through an animal into Satan's kingdom, and God freed her. And she really loves the Lord, and God uses her much. She has a great gift of discernment. Had a girl call me that was telling me that she said, "Sister Coffey, the Lord set me free at your church, and I'm still free, and I want you to know I'm sharing it with everyone I go, everywhere I go." God has done many. You know, a lot of times people will run and from deliverance because, as I said, they're afraid of letting people know that they've need deliverance. And the ones that need it the most run the fastest and the hardest. And my heart breaks for them. I had a lady come to my church one time. She's in her 60s, and I know I've talked a lot about a lot of different things, but I told you I was going to go as the Lord led. She's 66 years old, and she always wore a hat with aluminum foil in it. She was getting all kinds of signals. She was going to be assassinated, and she, bless her heart, her name was Anna. And she told me, she said, "Did you call my daughter?" And I said, "I didn't know you had a daughter." She had just come to our church to get deliverance, and she'd rented an apartment or something close to the church. And she said, "Well, I sent you a message." And I said, "You didn't call on my phone." She said, "No, I sent it to you." We did not help her. She left. She did not stay long enough for us to help her. And she had so many problems, but she could have been freed. But we have just, and I can tell you the negative side, there's so many that war has been helped that I think is tremendous. Okay, I want to go on real quickly, and I'm going to, let me see. I think that's enough in the area of protection. I had written this out, a person must keep their deliverance or the demons will return and start all over again. You sure don't want that to happen to you. It said, as I told you, seven worse than the first. Demons come back with demons that are like them. One could be a witch. If a person was delivered from witchcraft, when they come back in, they will bring back not only witchcraft, but they'll bring divination. They'll bring all the things that go with that are used in the area of deliverance of witchcraft. And bring this whole family in. And you think what that would be like if you're dealing with Jezebel, who is a witch, and all the different things in the area would come. They wouldn't bring something different, what I'm trying to say. If you cast out witchcraft and witchcraft came back in, you didn't keep it off, it would bring you the things in that area. And let me say this, and then we're going to go into deliverance. After someone's been delivered, and I see this happen a lot here, after they've been through some hard deliverance, don't go up and hug them or put your hands on them. Okay? Because you see, they're newly delivered. The house has not been filled. And they have no protection. And if anything is working in you, you can give it to them. And you wouldn't do it intentionally, but we don't always know what's working here. Amen? Okay, but be very careful of it. You say, "Well, you're just speaking negative." Well, deliverance is negative. I don't know anything positive about it except you can get free, and that's the main thing. Amen? Praise the Lord. If the Lord wills, tomorrow afternoon, I'm going to share on healing. I'm going to do deliverance on about three pages of different kind of sicknesses. Does anybody want to go through that next tomorrow night? I had thought about doing it downstairs, but the Lord changed it this morning. So, okay, I'm going to go through some. I've got a list of demons that I want to call off. Does anybody want deliverance this afternoon? Okay. Okay. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you now for deliverance. And we thank you for deliverance, Father. Deliverance is the children's bread. Your word declares it. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. And Father, we come, we repent of our sins. We ask you to forgive us, Father, and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We forgive, Lord, everyone that has hindered or harmed us in any way, living or dead, Father God. We ask you to forgive us for any unforgiveness that's within us, in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I ask you to restore our soul. Bring back every portion of our mind, our will, our emotions, in Jesus' name. Every part, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus. And we praise you and give you glory, in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Father, your word says that we have to renounce the occult. So we close the door on any and every part of the occult that we've been in, knowing or unknowing, in the name of Jesus. And we ask you to forgive us, Father, in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we just praise you and give you glory in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen and amen and amen. Now, I've just got a list that I'm going to go through. I'm going to start with bitterness, okay? I'm sorry, here, I had it. I came by to give it to a new signature. Bitterness, spirit of bitterness, let them go. Come out of there now in Jesus' name. Bitterness, resentment, and hatred, unforgiveness, violence, anger, retaliation. This unbelief, I call that the spirit of unbelief, in the name of Jesus, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the name of Jesus, let them go. Let them go. I forgot to tell you, you need to put your feet flat on the floor and uncross your legs and don't do this. this. And keep your hands, kind of keep your hands, you know, just kind of loose on you. Because, you know, if you clench your fist, do you know that this will give aid to a power to a spirit? My daughter-in-law used to curl her toes up. We always make her pull shoes off because she'd kick like a horse or a mule. And I said, pull your shoes off, Mary, and she'd do her toes like this. You'll hold on to the spirit somewhere or another. Praise the Lord. Rebellion, spirits of rebellion. In the name of Jesus, turn loose and let go. Come on out of there in Jesus' name. Spirits of jealousy. In the name of Jesus, let go. Come out in Jesus' name. Stubborn self-will. Come out in Jesus' name. Stubbornness, disobedience. Let them go. Let them go. Come on out of there in Jesus' name. Spirits of strife. Strife. I break the curse of strife over everyone in this place, and I call strife out. Spirit of strife and control. Come out of there. Contention, bickering, argument. Quarreling, in the name of Jesus, let them go. Let them go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, all spirits of rebellion, self-will, stubbornness. Rebellion is as the spirit of witchcraft, and I call witchcraft off in the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, let them go. Turn them loose and let them go in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, spirits of retaliation, I'll get even with that one. Come out of there now in Jesus' name. Turn them loose. Turn them loose and let them go. Spirits of destruction, come out of there now in Jesus' name. Let them go in the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus. Spirits of rejection. I did this yesterday. We'll do it again. Fear of rejection. All rejection. Come out now in Jesus' name. I bind the strong man of rejection and I call him out in the name of Jesus. And I command him to go in Jesus' name. Turn loose and come out. Spirits of rejection, self-rejection, and fear of rejection. Let them go. Judging, judgment, judgmental, criticism, fault-finding. Come out of there now in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Insecurity, spirits of insecurity. Let them go. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Inferiority, self-pity. Come out now in Jesus' name. Self-pity, all self-pity. In the name of Jesus, let them go. Let them go in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, false burden, carrying someone else's burdens. Come out in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, let them go. Turn them loose in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I come against depression. In the name of Jesus, mind control, mind wandering, mind binding, unclean thoughts. Fantasy, in the name of Jesus, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, turn loose and let them go. Let them go in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, I come against the spirits of death, fatigue, tiredness and weariness, come out of them now in Jesus' name. I break every curse of tiredness and weariness and fatigue. Come out in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, all tiredness, come out in there in Jesus' name. All the fatigue, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, let them go. Let them go. Come on out of there, all of it. Laziness and infirmities, come out of there now in Jesus' name. But I call fatigue, weariness, laziness, tiredness. I call out all the supernatural tiredness that's been sent. I call it off and I break its power in Jesus' name. Spirits of grief and sorrow, heartaches, heartbreak, come out now in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, let them go. Let them go. All spirits of grief and sorrow, let them go. Turn them loose and let them go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I come against hyperactivity, restlessness, driving, pressure. I come against the spirits of blasphemy in the name of Jesus. Coarse jesting, gossip, criticism, backbiting, mockery, railing, belittling. In the name of Jesus, come out of there. All spirits of gossip and criticism, backbiting. In the name of Jesus Christ, let them go. Come against addictions. Nicotine, alcohol, drugs, medication, caffeine, gluttony, in the name of Jesus. Come on out of there, in the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I come against confusion, spirits of confusion, mind-binding, fear of men, fear of failure, in the name of Jesus, mind idolatry, intellectualism, rationalization, come out of there now, in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, turn them loose and let them go. Let them go in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, spirits of gluttony, anybody having trouble with compulsive eating, come out of there now. Come out of me, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus, self-rewarding spirits. See, we eat a lot of times to reward ourselves. In the name of Jesus. I eat because I'm bored sometimes, and I break the power of it in the name of Jesus, and I command it to go. Command this body to line up with the Word of God in Jesus' name. Come on out there. Come on out in the name of Jesus. Self-pity, self-reward, self-accusation, self-hatred, self-condemnation. Come on out there. All guilt. Guilt in the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Condemnation, shame, unworthiness, embarrassment, sexual impurity, lust, fantasy lust. Come out of them now in Jesus' name. Homosexuality, lesbianism, adultery, fornication, incest, harlotry, rape, exposure. In the name of Jesus, come out of them. Sexual impurity, all guilt, all condemnation, shame, come out of them now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, let them go. Let them go. All of the rejection in the name of Jesus. Spirit of rejection in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord. Somebody pray for her. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, rejection's manifested on. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Come on out of there. Let them go. Let them go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. All of it. Let them go in the name of Jesus. All kinds of the occult, the Ouija board, handwriting out, and right, analysis. In the name of Jesus. ESP, horoscope, astrology, levitation, fortune telling, water witching. You know what water witching is? It's got to go. If anybody in your family ever witched for a well, you're under a curse, and we break the curse of water witching over. If you drank from a well that's been witched, you got cursed. So I call out and break every curse of water witching in the name of Jesus, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and let them go. Tarot cards, pendulums, witchcraft, black magic, white magic. Come on out of there now. Incantations, hexes, vexes, jinxes, blood sacrifices. Come out of them. In the name of Jesus, all fears. I call out fear. I call out the strong. I bind the strong man of fear, and I call him out in Jesus' name. Fear. Fear of death. Fear of being alone. Fear of the dark. Fear of snakes. Fear of accidents. Fear of losing your children, in the name of Jesus, all fears, come out of there. Let them go. Let them go in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn them loose and let them go in Jesus' name. Spirits of abuse, Come on out of there. All the hurt, all the pain for the abuse, come out of them. Come out of them. Let them go. In the name of Jesus. I call witchcraft off. All the witchcraft. Come on out of there now in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every name that has a name bows to the name of Jesus. Witchcraft. If you've ever been involved in any kind of it, of witchcraft, command it to go. Come on out of there. I break the curse of poverty over everyone here, and I call the spirit of poverty out. Curse of poverty. Come out. Now, in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Every curse of poverty has been loosed against God's people. I command it out now. In Jesus' name. Turn them loose. Let them go. Let them go. In Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn them loose and come out. I bind every spirit up that was left in anyone. I bind those that were cast out, and I call for the angels of the Lord to come and take them to the bottomless pit. I bind backlash and retaliation in the name of the Lord Jesus. And Father, I ask you now just to fill us with fresh and anew with the spirits of the Lord, the spirit of the Lord, the spirit of fear of the Lord, wisdom, counsel, might, understanding, and knowledge. Father, give each one of us a power and love and a sound mind. And Father, I thank you for filling every place where spirits were cast out in Jesus' name. And we give you praise, honor, and glory in the name of Jesus. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.